Well, you're listening to The Bike Show on Resonance 104.4 FM. And as promised, this week's show is coming from the Charles Lamb Pub in Islington, just downhill from the Angel, just off City Road. And we're sitting here in one of the few places in London that is making a strong commitment to the Tour de France by screening every stage of the race. They've got the Eurosport up on the widescreen television. And I'm joined by Teresa Bjorn of Belarusian and Bicycle Messenger fame. Teresa, what's the stage today? You've been looking at the profile.
Well, it's a big stage today. They got to go up the Tour Malay. Stage 11. They have quite a few mountains to climb and quite high ones as well.
Tour Malay is the biggest of the Pyrenean climbs, which they've taken first. This has been the first climb of the day, isn't it? Which it looks like they're over.
It's a massive climb. It's 1,100 meters high.
And it looks like it's Michael Rasmussen who's in the lead.
Yeah, another fellow Dane who looks like a mixture of a greyhound and a corpse. He's so skinny, I can't imagine what he weighs. He must be flying up that hill.
All right, well, we're going to sit back and enjoy the race. And we've got the little record player here. So we're going to try and get into the French atmosphere by spinning a few classic French records. And the first up is a song by the great Boris Vian.
Quand j'avais 6 ans, la première fois que papa m'emmena au cinéma, moi je trouvais ça plus palpitant que n'importe quoi. Il y avait sur l'écran des drôles de gars, des moustachus, des fiers à bras, des qui s'entretuent chaque fois qu'ils trouvent un cheveu dans le plat. Un piano jouait des choses d'atmosphère, Guillaume Tell ou le grand air du Trouvert, et tout le public en frémissant se passionnait pour ces braves gens. Ça coûtait pas cher, on en avait pour ses 3 francs. Belle, 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 belle comme l'amour. Blonde, 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 blonde comme le jour. Un rêve est passé sur l'écran et dans la salle obscurément. Des mains se cherchent, des mains se trouvent timidement. Belle, 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 la revoilà. Et dans la salle, plus d'un cœur bat. La voiture où elle se croit en sûreté vient de s'écraser par terre avec un essieu cassé. Le bandit va pouvoir mettre la main sur le fric, c'est tragique, nom d'un chien. C'est fini, tout s'allume, à mercredi prochain. Maintenant ce n'est plus mon papa qui peut m'emmener au cinéma, car il plante ses choux là-bas pas loin de Saint-Cucufa. Mais j'ai rencontré une Dalila, une drôle de môme, une fille comme ça. Elle adore aller le mercredi dans les cinémas. Bien sûr, c'est devenu le cinémascope, mais ça remue toujours et ça galope. Et ça reste encore comme autrefois, rempli de cowboys sans foi ni loi et de justiciers qui viennent fourrer leurs grands pieds dans le plat. Gar, 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 Gary Cooper s'approche du ravin d'enfer. Fais attention, pauvre crétin, car Alan Ladd n'est pas très loin. À 500 mètres, il loge une balle dans un croûton de pain. Gar, 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 pendant ce temps-là, je la prends doucement au creux de mon bras. Le fauteuil où elle se croit en sûreté ne m'empêche pas, ma foi, d'arriver à l'embrasser. J'ai pas vu si Gary sort gagnant, mais comme c'est le cinéma permanent, ma chérie, rappelle-toi, on est resté un an et on a eu beaucoup d'enfants.
Well, that was Cinematograph by Boris Vian, and we'll be having a little bit more French chanson later on in the show. This is The Bike Show on Resonance FM, coming from the heart of London town, but definitely with a French feel to things. And hopefully we'll be sneaking back into the kitchen here at the Charles Lamb pub. So Teresa, they're on a descent now, it seems. They can have a rest. Is that what they do when they're going down?
No, the descents are, you need just as many skills to go down that as you need to go up. And some riders are definitely more skilled in that department than others.
So part of the enjoyment of the Tour de France is actually just sort of appreciating the scenery of France. You get this amazing kind of picture of a country, don't you? It's I was reading the other day that it's the most visited country in the world, and it's easy to see why when you watch the Tour de France for 3 weeks on the television and you see the diversity of the French landscape.
The Tour de France is really just one big commercial France, isn't it? Of the diversity. Yeah, it's gorgeous to be there. It's gorgeous to see it as well. It makes you want to go, leave London for a while and go to the Alps.
And have you watched the Tour de France in the flesh?
I was there a couple of years ago and did some riding while the tour.
Where were you?
In the Alps.
And what do you make of the hills? I mean, actually having ridden them. I mean, you're no mean cyclist yourself. You're former world messenger champion.
Not world, so European champion. But I did build the world champion, so maybe that counts. I mean, you have utter respect once you've been up one of those hills yourself. You know, they're 21 kilometers, 20 kilometers with a real high incline. And I did a couple of rides that day up hills, but you know, today they've got like four climbs, so yeah, ultimate respect.
It's often said that the Tour de France is the biggest spectator sporting event in the world, simply because the stadium in which it takes place is a whole country and it's free to attend. I mean, it is amazing, especially on the climbs where people will come and camp, particularly on the hairpin bends where you get a really good view of everybody coming around, and they'll put their caravan there kind of 3 or 4 days in advance. Particularly the Dutch supporters and the German supporters, they love it.
It is a spectacular event. That whatever sport, you get to be that close to the competitors. I mean, you see them whizzing by. Of course, they go a little bit slower by as they come up the climb.
And they're a bit more spread out as well, so you get to see everybody rather than, you know, if you're camping on the side of the road, you know, on a very flat stage, you'll probably get about, you know, 10 seconds of whoosh and they'll be gone.
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is quite something.
And there's plenty of things you can do to kind of pass the time. You can, you know, have a barbecue, you can drink all your good beers and wines and all the nice French foods. You can get your paints out and paint some messages on the roads. I haven't seen too many good graffitis on the roads on this stage so far. But maybe they've all been saved for the big climb at the end.
Yeah, that's right. They normally paint them on the climb, so you really see them as you go towards the top. You can see the road painted with all the names of the riders.
Do you think the riders notice? Or do you think they're in such a world of pain and suffering that, you know, they don't see their name written on the road? Or do you think it does, you know, help them along a bit?
I don't know. I would still feel flattered.
And sometimes the spectators encroach quite a lot onto the road, which must be quite terrifying. You know, you've got a kind of avenue of bodies on either side of you who just jump away at the last minute because they're kind of wanting to get a good view of you as you come up. Well, they're apparently on the very nastiest of the day's climbs, which I guess is probably the steepest. I mean, the Tourmalet is obviously the longest of the climbs, but this is looks like it's a particularly steep one, the Col de Paysourde. And there seems to be a kind of small group of riders who have broken away. There's a Basque rider, Thomas Voerkle, French great white hope, is there. They were talking about him lacking a bit of water, but his team car seems to have found him and given him a bottle of Lucozade, which he seemed to pour down his neck and then throw away. The man's mad. Maybe he's already suffering from the first stages of dehydration. What do you reckon?
I don't know if he's suffering yet, but he will be. You have to be really careful getting enough water as you're going up there and think ahead of time, not when you really need it.
We've been joined by Camille Hobby-Limon, who is the owner of the Charles Lamb pub. What made you decide to show the Tour de France in your pub? Because there's not a lot of interest in it in British public.
Well, it started off when we first got the pub that we would have a no television policy. With the World Cup coming in, we had to invest in a TV. So a good friend of mine, Paul Frederick, who lives nearby, a keen cyclist enthusiast, asked if we would show the Eurosport for the Tour de France, and as it sort of tied in with my French parentage and the kind of theme we were looking at running through the pub, I thought it was fitting to give it a go.
So it's a great pub. I mean, you've not been here for too long. You do food as well as excellent drinks. And is there a kind of French flavour to the food?
I do try my best to try and make it a simple French and British fare. But we have typical things from France like rillettes, which we serve with cornichons and toast. And we do like to do the charcuterie and cheese plates. I've got a very good supplier of cheese. So we have a very good Brie de Meaux, which stinks out my cellar. Because we're a free house, we're able to stock whatever we like in the drinks department. So I have a very good Breton cider, which flies out by the litre bottle at £6.
Well, let's perhaps head back into the kitchen.
Okay.
Well, here we are, and a little kitchen back here.
I mean, one of the biggest favourites here are the Merguez sausages, which are typically sold in France in a galette. I always remember eating them as a child with a Merguez sausage with a wrapped around a galette, and you'd wander around the markets and always stop by the creperie or galette stall, and you'd always have Merguez sausages with galettes around them, which was always my favourite, and they proved to be quite popular here. Not with the galettes though, because that's too difficult for me to do. I do them in sandwiches, and the rillette is a big seller.
What's rillette?
Rillette is like a rough pâté, mainly consisting of fat, pork fat and pork. Strung. It's like pork belly, which is strung, yeah, and French, and it's got a bit of wine in it as well.
Because yeah, I mean, animal fat is a major component of most things that are French.
Big
in the cooking department.
Yeah, so that's my goose fat ready for my potatoes on Sunday.
Goose fat potatoes. Now we're talking.
Yeah,
now the secrets are being revealed. What's the secret of making perfect roast potatoes?
Well, that's an English tradition, which involves. It's long and laborious. I'm usually up by 8 on Sundays to parboil the potatoes for just 10 minutes. And then I put them in a big colander and bash them around a bit to rough up the edges. Knock some flour onto them. And then have the trays already heated with the goose fat in them. Put the potatoes in the goose fat and turn them with lots of rock salt, and pepper and rosemary and garlic.
And cannot aid weight loss as part of a calorie control diet.
Well, look at the French. They're mostly quite trim and slim. It's all about...
Yeah, how do they manage it?
They don't have big portions like the English. It's smaller portions and eat as much and eat all the things you like.
But in moderation.
In moderation, yes.
And a good glass of red wine with it as well.
Exactly. Also in moderation.
Great. Well, let's head back out into the pub and see what's going on in the race. So, Teresa, what's happening?
I'm not quite up to date with it.
You're kind of going off into a sort of Tour de France coma. Yeah, it's possible to spend hours watching these 160 men in extreme pain and suffering and just kind of glaze off into a reverie, isn't it?
Either that or too much coffee today, I don't know.
Well, it looks as though the lead guys are going up a hill. Well, it looks like Thomas Voeckler is really suffering. You can see the sweat pouring out of his helmet. I think he's paying the price for not taking on that water, and it looks like he's going to get eaten up by the peloton, the chasing group. More music. Here on Resonance 104.4 FM, this is The Bike Show, Tour de France special. Je ne peux l'acheter, non, 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 je ne peux l'acheter, non. Je peux plus te donner l'ami si tu peux me le trouver. Je l'ai souvent cherché l'ami, cet amour dont j'ai rêvé. Je donnerai tout, tout mon ami, oui tout pour me l'acheter. Je donnerai tout pour l'avoir, le bonheur n'a pas de prix. Pour un grand amour sans histoire, je donnerai tout, oh oui. Je donnerai tout, tout mon ami, crois-moi si je le pouvais. Je ne peux l'acheter, non, l'amour dont j'ai rêvé. Je ne peux l'acheter. Thierry Vincent singing Je ne peux l'acheter, can't buy me love. These guys are probably wishing they had a granny wheel on the back of their bikes. What do you reckon? I mean, to winch themselves up this hill. It apparently gets up to 10% at the very summit.
That's very steep. That's like hitting a wall.
So it's Matthias Kessler from the T-Mobile team who is absolutely destroying the field. All kinds of people are falling off the back of this breakaway. George Hincapie, we've just seen, really struggling. But it's an explosive turn of pace by T-Mobile and Matthias Kessler, who was a stage winner with a breakaway in the first week of the race. So he's obviously on form. Okay, so Matthias Kessler is now just winching himself up on the granny wheel, taking it really easy. So tell me what's happened there. He kind of exploded and now has been dropped off the back.
No, his job was to put a fierce pace up for T-Mobile, and he's done his job now, so he's pulled back. He put the pace up and
so he's like a kind of kamikaze escape, is it?
Yeah, that's a good word for it.
Well, I've got the official program of the Tour de France this year in front of me, and there's a little special feature which I quite like on what it takes to organise the logistics of a cycling team in the Tour de France. I mean, each team has got 9 riders. Each rider will be provided with 3 road bikes, with 4 for each of the 2 team leaders, a time trial bike as well. And apparently the team will supply 230 lunch bags, 1,000 fruit jelly bars and 1,500 cereal bars, 200 energy gels. I mean, energy gels, they're really disgusting, aren't they? I mean, I don't know what possesses anybody to eat one of those. Because it mentions here fruit tarts, semolina cakes and sandwiches. So all this food is prepared by the assistance of the team. I mean, it doesn't mention flapjacks, because I reckon flapjacks are the best food for cycling with. What do you reckon?
And it doesn't mention the famous French cuisine either. Surely you would have some red wine and some baguettes.
Yeah,
and
a couple of sausages stuffed down your back.
Yeah, that should do it for me.
I mean, of course, bicycle messengers, when they're in competition, are fueled mainly by alcohol. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. That's absolutely true.
And illegal drugs, but not of a performance-enhancing kind. From what I've been told.
Yeah, let's reinforce the social stereotypes. That's right.
Well, as the race enters into its final stage, the last 10 kilometres or so, the riders are getting a little last drink of water. A couple of enormous platters of sausage sandwich have appeared at our table.
I can't speak. I'm chewing.
Teresa is piled in. And they are dropping riders at an alarming rate. Dennis Menchov is looking very good. Salvadelli's out the back. It's really coming down to about 4 or 5 riders. Floyd Landers is still up there. Most exciting. This is really what the Tour de France is about when it hits the mountains and they just can't hack it anymore. Michael Bogert, the Dutch champion, is leading Dennis Menchoff, his Rabobank team member, up the hill. And there's a group of five riders behind them. Well, as we enter into the last 5 kilometres of today's stage, who should walk in the door but the Guardian's very own cycling correspondent, Matt Seaton. Matt, is this the first time you've swung by the Charles Lamb to watch the Tour de France?
It certainly is. I'd be here more often if I'd known it was on every day.
And what's your view of the closing stages? It looks like it's going to be pretty exciting.
I suppose this is always going to be a good stage to watch, with finishing at the top of a long climb. It's one of those climbs, by the look of it, it's not a super steep gradient. So, it's quite interesting to see who's at the front. You know, Michael Bogert was at the front until quite recently, and so was Schleck. So you've got kind of classics riders able to hold the pace, but actually they now seem to have got blown out. So we've got, five on the front, which is Landis, Sastry, Leipheimer, Evans, of course, yeah, and Menchov. So that looks like a kind of pretty select group.
I mean, tactically, what will be going through their minds? There's about 3 kilometres to go. Are they going to be waiting for one of them to make a move and then follow him up? Or is it a bit of cat and mouse at the moment, or are they just flat out?
Well, I think they'll all be wanting the stage win, because at the moment nobody really seems to kind of be taking a race by the horns and dominating the yellow jersey. So I think those five will all be wanting to kind of gain time, but then they're all going to do that now anyway. So I think there certainly will be a kind of bit of cat and mouse in the last sort of 3K. We saw a little bit earlier on, Leipheimer had a little dig, and the Rabobank guy, that's Menchov, isn't it, had a go too. So, it should be quite an interesting little finale, I think.
And more importantly, Teresa, how are the Merguez sausages?
They're good, and they're all consumed by now. Nothing left.
Apparently it's a spécialité de la maison. I was being explained when I was in the kitchen earlier on. So this is one of the sort of more francophone dishes that they serve here at the Charles Lamb. I don't know, it makes such good, entertaining viewing. Or do you think it doesn't make good viewing? Do you think you have to be a cycling obsessive to know what's going on?
I don't know. I think when it gets to the mountains, it's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, and you've got those fantastic backdrops. I don't know, the first week I find I generally end up reading about in the paper the next day. The trouble is I could have this TV on at work, but it would just be so distracting, and people would get annoyed with me, and you'd be in competition with the test match or with last week it was with Wimbledon or whatever. So you've got to pace yourself, I think, over a 3-week stage race. Yeah.
So it's come down to a three-man race. Well, no, Levi Leipheimer is falling off the back, so it's Dennis Menchoff against Floyd Landis. Rabobank against Phonak Hearing Systems. Leipheimer's back in contention.
My money's on Menchoff.
I want Landis to take this.
I think Menchoff, because his team has ridden the best race so far, I think, driving it on with Rasmussen. I think they deserve the win. So we've been enjoying a leisurely lunchtime at the Charles Lamb pub in Islington, and it's absolutely perfect place to sit and watch the Tour de France and eat some good French food and drink some Breton cider. But there are one or two other places to watch the Tour de France in London. I think Bar Italia shows it, or if it's not on, they certainly turn it on if you ask them. But there's a special event coming up tomorrow, if you're listening to the show on Monday, on Tuesday the 18th of July. Tell me a bit more about that, Teresa.
The Rafa company is putting on a screening of the tour that's going to take place at the Truman Brewery Corbett Place. You can come along during the daytime. We open up at 11 or 12, I think, until 11 o'clock at night. But if you don't have time to come during the day, then come in the evening and watch it.
What's the stage?
Oh, the stage is the Alp d'Huez stage, and quite a lot of people from London or the rest of England would have gone and rode that stage as part of the Étape du Tour.
Well, come along then to the Truman Brewery, which is just off Brick Lane in the east of London, from midday till 11 o'clock at night. And we'll both be there. So, well, thanks very much, Teresa, for being a pundit on this week's show. And tune in next week for a special feature by Kieran Yates, who, as you'll remember if you're a particularly attentive listener to the show, is the bike show's correspondent who's been cycling the length of the United States. He has been talking to a lot of people in Worcester, Massachusetts, about the great Major Taylor, who was the African-American cycling champion of the late 19th century. And we'll be spotlighting Major Taylor and his exploits at the very early days of competitive cycling. Until then, chapeau, ride safely, and we'll leave you with Michel Polnareff, La Poupée qui fait non.